A week of diplomacy kicks off as Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte heads to Moscow. NATO heads of state and government gather in Brussels, and the G7 meets in Italy. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is RFERL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So, Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte heads to Moscow today, where he will meet with Vladimir Putin. Putin issued the invitation back at the APEC summit in Peru late last year. On the eve of the visit, Duterte raised eyebrows by saying that the West was all, quote, double talk, and that he would work on improving relations with Russia and China. The exact quote was, "My foreign policy has shifted. I want to deal with China and Russia because the Western world, it's double talk. Russia sells weapons, no condition. With the U.S., it's a different story. They make conditions, but I'm not going to stand on bended knees." What will you be looking for in this visit? What do you think it signifies, Steve?
I think I'll be looking for a lot more of this kind of talk and this kind of symbolism of you know, Duterte talking about how straightforward Russia is and how, you know, good it is as a potential ally. And, you know, I think this kind of talk by him, and he's been sort of criticizing the United States for a long time, and I mean, obviously since Obama was president, and trying to you know, at least on the surface, diminish the U.S. influence in the Philippines, and I think, you know, his what he's trying to do fits in well with what, you know, Putin wants in terms of I guess propaganda, or in terms of the way Putin wants Russia's image to look like. I mean, you have this leader coming and pretty much playing directly to the kind of multipolar, you know, thing that Russia's always wanted. On the other hand, you know, but I think the other thing is that Philippines, I mean, Duterte hasn't actually canceled deals with the U.S. I mean,
right, you know, he gets most of his arms from the U.S.
Right, so to a large degree, at least at this point, you know, it is words and sort of imagery. So, you know, I think we're going to see more of that. A little more difficult to say how much, you know, real kind of, you know, what kind of a real shift it might signify. I mean, I'd be a little dubious or skeptical of it bringing a real sea change.
Yeah, no, it's on one hand, this looks like this part of this axis of illiberalism that Putin seems to be trying to create in the world. And he seems to be trying to lure traditional Western allies, be they Turkey or the Philippines, into Moscow's fold, but I don't think he can ever fully pull them. You're right. At this point, it's just words and symbolism, but the question is, when does it turn into geopolitics? I don't quite see that happening yet. It's almost like this virtual alliance of illiberals who are none of whom are willing to completely cut their ties with the West.
Right. No. And it works. I mean, yeah, I mean, it is. You see, you know, Putin with he's got a bunch of great looking allies. I mean, you know, Assad and Duterte and, you know, Russia seems to have become a little bit harder line in terms of its, you know, somewhat defending North Korea, saying North Korea shouldn't be pressured. You know, it almost looks like they're doing, you know, whatever they can just to, you know, to. Just accepting any kind of criticism of the U.S. and the West, and embracing that. But as you say, you know, it's hard to imagine a real sort of geopolitical shift with this being kind of the new paradigm or something. And also, there's China, of course. You know, China's also leaning toward China. And, you know, in the end, this is a bit of perhaps a sideshow to Russia and the Philippines is maybe a sideshow to sort of China and the Philippines.
Yeah, which is actually something to watch. It is significant that Duterte has not accepted an invitation from from the U.S. To visit the U.S. But now he's going to Russia. There were also reports in the Russian media that Putin may make an unscheduled visit to France later this month, which I kind of found odd given the chilly relations between the Kremlin and the new French president Emmanuel Macron. What did you make of these reports?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I mean,
they've not been confirmed yet. The Kremlin's not confirmed.
The Kremlin hasn't confirmed.
Next week is what Kommersant's reporting.
Right, and there would be the 29th, which is kind of, and then there's talk, well, I guess these reports tie into the, you know, initial, there were reports that Putin could meet Trump in Europe around the time that Trump is here for NATO on the 25th and the G7 after that. But that seems to have faded, you know, whether it's still... you know, with both sides pretty much suggesting that they would meet at the
G20 in July. I would
have
a hard time imagining a Trump-Putin meeting right now, given everything that's going on.
So, I mean, it's possible, I don't know, it's possible that the Kremlin wants to kind of punctuate this week of, I mean, you have, okay, Putin's meeting with Duterte on the day that NATO holds a meeting with Trump. But in a way, you have the G7. I mean, Russia's a bit conspicuously left out of all this European and Western... meetings. So maybe Russia is trying to punctuate that with some imagery of Putin going to France. But then the question is, does he meet with Macron?
You know, this doesn't look like an official visit or anything. And right. I haven't heard anything about a potential meeting with Macron. That would certainly be big news. But it would also be quite odd for the president of Russia to pay a private visit to France and not meet the French president.
Right.
Which is so it's weird. Again, it's unconfirmed reports in the Russian media. Now, finally, NATO and the G7 are both meeting this week, which will be U.S. President Donald Trump's first time in those forums. That seems to be getting a lot of most, if not all, of the media attention. Are you expecting anything else to come out of these meetings? Is Russia going to loom large in either of these? I mean, they're like you said, they're going to be conspicuous by their absence from the G7.
Exactly. I think, I mean, one thing that I'll be watching or interested in is how large Russia does loom and the Ukraine issue also in particular, because you had, I mean, NATO summit or NATO meeting.
And they're not calling it a summit.
No, exactly. It's a meeting. but, you know, on one hand, maybe there would be sort of solidarity, in confronting Russia. But on the other hand, you know, maybe it'll be more focus on with Trump, there's been a lot of focus on NATO needs to pay up.
The 2%.
So the mix of that. Will be interesting to watch. And also this comes after this controversial meeting of Trump with Lavrov and Kislyak at the White House, where, you know, there are reports that Trump, he reportedly said that he's not that interested in Ukraine, but it's being used, you know, against him. So I think to watch what the dynamic on what's said about Ukraine, you know, we may get some clues as to, how solid the NATO and the Western countries
solidarity
are in terms of Ukraine.
Right. Well, it'll certainly be an eventful week in terms of diplomacy. On that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFURL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.